I remember I was not very old when I started having experiences. And the first ones that we remember is the heavy boot steps going up and down the stairs next to our bedroom. So we called it the stair monster.
Are you or are you not ready to get your spook on? Welcome to List Envy. My name is Mark Steadman, and every week I invite a special guest to build a top five list on a topic they choose. And we do that together, and it's a lot of fun. And if you're new here, welcome. I am about to introduce to you John Olson. He is the author of the Stranger Bridgeland series of books, and we are talking today all about haunted places. This is so far up my alley, it's ridiculous. I did a ghost walk 11 years ago now, and it was lots of fun. I got a nosebleed, and that's about all that happened, but it was great fun. Anyway, we'll have a bit more of a chinwag later in the episode, but for now, let us begin. I started by asking John, why the fascination with the haunted?
The home that I grew up in was built in 1883. So it was 100 years old when I was a kid growing up in it. And for this area, that's really old. I know some places, other places in the world, it's not quite as old, but here it's, goes back to some of the first buildings. And by the time I was, even when I was little, I realized that there were things going on in my house that didn't happen at my friends' houses. And I grew up seeing full body apparitions, voices, things moving, everything you can think of, footsteps on the stairs, all these things went on. And it got me really interested in the paranormal, especially the fact that my parents didn't like us talking outside of the house about what was going on in the house with the ghosts, because, you know, we grew up in a small town and they were afraid people were going to talk about us and think we were crazy. And of course, back then it's not as, I guess, accepted, I guess you could say, as it is now. And so I just dove in to learn everything I could about the paranormal. And then later on, when I was in my teens, I had friends that had experiences in my house. And when I finally admitted, yeah, I grew up in a haunted house, they wanted me to tell stories about it, which I did, and I loved doing. And then it slowly morphed into the fact that people were bringing me stories. And so I started collecting and hunting down stories. And about 9 years ago, my wife, I remarried, and my wife was like, well, you've got all these stories, what are you going to do? And I said, I want to write a book. And she goes, well, let me help you. And so I wrote my first one about eight or nine years ago. And then I started getting even more stories as my book went out. And I've been lucky enough to actually get enough stories from that I had for the 30 years or whatever. And then the new stories, I've written about one book a year for the last 8 years. I've got a new one coming out in May. And so it's just been really fun. I love learning about it. I love listening to people's stories, gathering stories, and then coming on shows and talking about it too. My parents, when we were little, didn't talk about it, but later on, I came to find out that they were having experiences as well. And I think my dad came from the standpoint of being, in denial. No, our house is not haunted, And my mother was a little bit more open and talked a little bit more with us. But it was interesting to find out when I was much older that I started connecting dots. I'll give you an example. One of the ghosts that we saw a lot is called him the man in the hat, because he had a wide brimmed hat and overalls with a white shirt and really tall and skinny. And I came home from school one day, and my dad is walling up one of the doors to the bathroom. We had at the time in the house, there was only one bathroom, and it was centralized where it had a door from the living area and then a door from my parents' bedroom. And my dad is walling up the door from the bedroom. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he says, your mom wants it this way. We're going to do it. So I helped him do it. Well, I didn't find out till years later that the reason they did it is my mom would wake up in the middle of the night and the door to the bathroom would be open and the man in the hat would be standing there watching them sleep. And so she was like, let's get rid of the door and hopefully he'll stop doing that. So
why does it feel like there is so little evidence, you know, as in like photographic or sort of video evidence of these things? What, you know, what would be your answer to that?
Well, right now we're in a time that it can be very confusing because everybody walks around with a phone in their pocket. And so that gives you a great chance to catch a lot of stuff. And I've seen a lot of, you know, photographs and stuff that if I see something on the internet, I have to delve into it and find out, you know, because I try not to take everything for face value, because the other thing is anybody with a computer can alter things as well. So I just kind of take everything with a grain of salt and go through it that way, if it makes sense. And a lot of times, I mean, I hate to say it, but you have to go with your gut, whether you're interviewing somebody or looking at a picture or trying to figure something out. You just have to go with your gut. And especially when it comes to things like Bigfoot and things like that, there's just so many hoaxes out there that you would really like to see some good, hard picture evidence. And there is a few out there for sure. But this day and age, it's hard to rake through the muck, so to speak, of a lot of the hoaxing that goes on. And I get really mad about hoaxing because it degrades all the hard work of the real people out there.
Devalues what you're doing.
And, exactly. Yeah.
So then, why don't we get started then? We are talking about haunted locations. Why don't you give me your first one?
Oh, yes. So my very first one is the Queen Mary that's in port in California. It's a sister ship to the Titanic. And it's one location that I actually can say I've been to, which is great. It has a lot of things that go on there, a lot of shadow people, full apparitions, ghosts in the pool area where people died. And, you know, the way it is, how I got on there, and this has been many, many, many years ago, before it was actually really famous haunted place. We walked up and we were in California for a trip and we walked up and we just pretended like we had a room there. We were talking about, oh, remember where our room is? Oh, I think it's down this way. And the guy that was guarding the front entrance was like, oh, they must be, you know, somebody here. We were able to go in and walk around and do a little mini tour. And just the feeling there.
In the UK, we call that blagging. I like it.
Blagging. I like that.
Just blagging your way through.
Love just it. Blagging your way through. Yep. And you're just trying to bluff your way without, you know, trying to get in too much attention. But it's just got some great feel to it. It's got, like I said, a lot of ghost stories associated with it. And it's one of those things that's got history to it as well, which makes a big difference. The pool area, which at the time it was really amazing that they had a pool on a ship at that time, but it was actually down underneath in the hold. And there's several ghosts that are supposedly there. Many people have gone down there, and even though there's no water anymore, hearing splashing and hearing people playing and just kind of going around like that with different voices and catching a lot of EVPs, the people who were lucky enough to get down there and do some EVP sessions, which is recording voices that you may not hear on your own. They've got some really great ones there. And there's actually a room on the ship too that they had closed up for. They'd actually stopped letting people go into that room and spend the night because of all of the things that had happened in the room. And there were so many people complaining, they actually ended up boarding it up. And there was a group that went in not long ago, I believe, I'm trying to remember the name of the group, but they actually allowed them to open it up and sleep in there. And they had some very crazy experiences with voices and just crazy places like that. It is really a fun one. And it's one that I would love to go back to for sure.
Oh, amazing. That there seems something inherently really creepy about a pool, an empty pool that is, you know, drained of water, just that space, and with all the tiles around it and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, it's so often, obviously there's no windows there, you know, usually that whole thing just feels, I'm getting a little bit tingly just sort of thinking about walking around an abandoned pool, because that just feels like, oh no. And then the lights go off, the lights flicker off, and it's just suddenly terrifying.
I know, right? It's really a lot of fun. It's funny for me because, you know, growing up in that situation, I've had experiences that I tell the story and then people are like, well, what did you do? And I basically say, oh, I just went back to bed after that. And they're like, oh, you went back to bed? I couldn't imagine that. But I get more excited than anything. Yeah, I get more excited than anything. So for sure when that happens, but...
Love it. Okay, that's fantastic. So for my number one, I'm going to go with 284 Green Street, which is the site of the Enfield haunting, which is probably the most famous case of a haunting that we have in the UK within sort of living memory. So in August, and there's lots of things that have been made about this. In August 1977, Peggy Hodgson called the police saying that she'd witnessed furniture moving and that two of her kids had heard knocking on the walls. And then a police constable reported witnessing a chair wobble and slide, but couldn't determine the cause of the movement. And then later claims included disembodied voices, loud noises, thrown toys, overturned chairs, and children levitating. And over a period of 18 months, more than 30 people, including neighbours, paranormal investigators and journalists, said they saw heavy furniture moving, objects being thrown across the room, and young kids levitating. And yeah, so that, you know, the Enfield haunting was a Sky TV show here in 2015 that told the story in a three-part series, I think. The Conjuring 2, the sequel, I remember going to see that, not realising that they were also, that was the story they were covering. And there is now, as of only a few months, there is an Apple TV series about it, which I'm going to have to go and investigate because I didn't realize. So, yes, that is my number one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. I hadn't heard about the Apple TV one. Yeah. And that is a really famous one, too. They tried to kind of debunk it because there were a few things that the kids had done that might have embellished. But a lot of people took that as, oh, everything when that was fake, when, you know, it really was, when you look into it, it's a really scary one for sure. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, it's a great one. Okay, what is your number two?
My number two is the Stanley Hotel in Colorado.
Yay!
The Stanley Hotel. Yay, that's a good one. I love that one. And that's one that I'm trying really hard. I'm trying to book a trip up there this year with my wife to stay. And she gets nervous when I book all these places to scary places. But the Stanley Hotel was originally built. Yeah, I can't imagine, right? The Stanley Hotel was built originally by, and I forget his name, but it was a gentleman from back east who had moved, got tuberculosis. And the big thing back in the 1800s was, move west. It's drier drier air. You'll live longer. It's better for you. And he built the Stanley Hotel. And there's been a lot of things that have gone on in the Stanley Hotel. And some of the things that people see to this day is the piano will be playing, and they assume it's a player piano, and it's not. And it's actually his wife, the original owner. She loved that piano and she loved that entryway, and she'll play that at night and people will be like, oh, who turned on the player piano? And the staff knows that it's not a player piano. So, and of course everybody knows, well, maybe not everybody knows, but that is where, Stephen King wrote The Shining. That's where he got the idea of and everything for The Shining. And what really gave him part of the idea was the fact that he stayed there for quite a while, and he would be waking up in the middle of the night with children playing in the hallway, but he was the only one there. So that goes on as well, children playing in the hallway, sounds. One of my favorite episodes of Ghost Hunters, which I used to watch all the time, they actually get voices in the basement where you can see that the building's built with the limestone bricks from the mountain, and just a lot of voices that go on there. And in the little theater that's just outside of the building, there's a lot that go on there as well with voices and seeing different people. And it's definitely on my bucket list. I'm going. If it's not this year, it'll be next year for sure that I'm going to go there. So.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, the this is my number four, so I was doing some research on this. Yeah. Room 217 is actually where King stayed. Apparently he dreamed of a fire hose coming to life and chasing his son down the halls of the hotel. He woke up, lit a fag, and by the time he'd finished it, he'd basically come up with the whole idea for The Shining. He was there to write The Stand, I think, with his wife Tabitha. And then apparently, so in 1911, the head chambermaid entered room 217. She went in with a lit candle and then set off a massive explosion, which she survived, but she was launched from the room's entrance into the dining hall on the first floor. And her spirit is said to still inhabit room 217, but reports claim that she's typically more helpful than scary, unless you're unmarried, apparently. So if you are an unmarried couple and you stay, then you can expect a bit more of a chilly reception.
Yes.
So she's quite judgy.
That's funny. Yeah, I like that. So she just does not like people who are, you know, unmarried spending time in the hotel. So
who knew? Oh, wicked. Okay, so my number two then is going to be the catacombs underneath Paris.
That is a good one. I love that one.
Yeah, so you got snaking underneath the city of Paris is a network of small dark tunnels cut by hand and lined with the bones of millions upon millions. The catacombs were dug at the end of the 18th century as the city's cemeteries literally overflowed with the dead. I saw the first time I'd heard anything about this, I saw the film As Above, So Below, which was maybe 2014 film. But apparently it's such a weird and bizarre place. Like there's so much that goes on here other than haunting. I mean, so in terms of haunting, according to legend, the walls start speaking around midnight. And it's said that disembodied voices will try and persuade you to go deeper into the catacombs so that you can't find your way out again. But in 2004, police found a makeshift cinema that was that had electricity set up and phone lines. It's a really weird place. I really want to go. I'm not far away from Paris. I've only been to Paris once, but I really want to do it. I mean, some people, I guess, want to do, because you can do the tour of the sewers, apparently. But yeah, get me into those catacombs and freak me the hell out, please. I'm down for it.
That is so true. And you know, the fact that you're wandering around and the walls are literally bones with skulls, and then the fact that so many people have gone down and actually gotten lost down there it's crazy. The things that go on there. I would definitely go, but I would definitely go with like a tour guide and somebody who knows their way for sure. So
yeah, you want to get, I'm trying to remember who it is who defeated the Minotaur.
Oh yeah.
But he had to, I want to say it's Theseus, but I don't think it was. And so he had to, he got a big ball of red thread, so that he could make his way back. That's, you definitely want to sort of lay some, you know, some breadcrumbs or something. But then I have a horrible image of, I don't know if you've ever seen the film Labyrinth, but I remember these horrible little Jim Henson puppets, the main character would draw in chalk little arrows so that she could remember where she'd been. And then these little imps would come up from the ground and move the arrows.
Yep.
Feels very catacomby.
Yes, I remember that too. I loved that movie as well. Yeah, that's scary to death for sure. And I'm not a huge fan of cramped places, but not horrible, but yeah, same thing. So that's awesome. I love that.
Wicked. Okay, what is number three for you?
So right outside of Italy, in Italy, there's an island that I'm going to slaughter the name, even though I've heard it a lot of times. Paveglia.
Oh, is this in Venice?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I've no idea either, but you know, you gave it a good shot.
I gave with my, you know, horrible Northern Utah American accent. I'm sure I hacked it up pretty good, but Paveglia, something like that. Anyway, so it's an island where originally that's where they put people. You know, it's been used as a plague hospital for everybody back in the time where a lot of people died from there. They've used it for other kinds of hospitals, including, mental patients, and also used it as a jail for times. Just the just all of the things that have gone on there. You can't have an area that small with that much death and negativity and not have just the most paranormal experiences there. But I guess there's been several people who have bought it and then attempted to build things on the buildings or build something there, like, hotels and stuff. Nothing has worked. Everything just went downhill when they went in there to try and do it, because there's just so many spirits out there. I mean, everything you can imagine, you know, shadow people, ghosts, voices, I mean, and negative energy out there. Definitely one of the most haunted places for sure.
Yeah, I when I was in Venice, it's a shame I didn't get I didn't know about it then. I mean, this was back in 2007, but it would have been probably wouldn't have been on my friends' lists of places to go, because we did spend most of the time just walking around St. Mark's Square listening to music, which was a lovely way to spend my time in Venice. Yep. But yes, I definitely would like to check it out. Beautiful. Okay. My number three then is going to be Aokigahara, which is, I'm sure I'm butchering the pronunciation of that name, which is it's a haunted forest in Japan, according to traditional. So this is where this sort of where the legend spins up. So a little bit of background, thank you to Wikipedia and various sources. According to traditional Japanese beliefs, all humans have a spirit which leaves the body and enters a form of purgatory, where it waits for its proper funeral and the rites to be performed, so that it can then join its ancestors. And if all of that stuff is done correctly, the ghost then protects the living family and returns every August, which is specific. Receive thanks. And it was when you were talking about the sort of visitors that you've experienced, and when it comes down to family lineage, it ties in really interestingly for me there about this idea that these spirits are sort of lingering around to watch over the family and just make sure everything's okay. But the place is known as, in English, is known as the Suicide Forest. I won't go too much into that because it's pretty dark. But there was a 2016 film called The Forest, which I think I saw, which goes into plays, has a lot of fun to, if you like, to be had with the mythos and stuff. But like the catacombs, another place that you can easily get lost in, which I think just adds to the terror.
Yeah. In the forest there, there's also strings, like you talked about, where people have tried to use the strings to find their way out. And it seems like they're just everywhere in there. And, you know, all the places that I would like to visit because of it, that's one place that I don't want to visit. I have no need whatsoever to visit that haunted forest, because even watching it on television, like I have, it's a different kind of feel. It's just a sadness, I guess, is what you would say, that, there's getting scared, and then there's seeing ghosts, and then there's the deep sadness associated with that place. That's it's a different energy for sure. So
you're absolutely right. I think, yeah, there is perhaps a romanticism, for want of a better word, with other hauntings, and there's history and there's those kinds of things. But this, yeah, you know, if you know, legend is to be believed, or even the actual fact of how people make use of the forest, it is just sadness. So yes, best avoided. I think you're right. Let's go straight on to what is your number three.
So my number three is the Waverly Hills Sanitarium. That one, it's kind of gotten very popular lately. It was a tuberculosis hospital in just outside of Louisville, Kentucky. And there's been any number of deaths there because of the tuberculosis and some of the other things that they treated there. And the people who have investigated it, it's just, there's so much that goes on there with, voices, disembodied voices, several places in the hospital, investigators put toys because supposedly there's children there and they will move the toys and, play with the toys, or, they'll use a EVP or a meter, that, tests, things, and they put it inside of toys and it'll go off because the spirit of the children are playing with it. But on top of that as well, supposedly there's, ghosts of vagrants who've gone in there and died from different things as well. For a long time before it was famous for ghosts, it was famous for people to break into, to vandalize and do all kinds of things. But that's one that a lot of ghost shows have visited. So there's a lot of film out there. If anybody's interested, just look it up. And you can see a lot of really amazing video and audio from there. So
it's weird. Like I'm certain I've heard of the Waverly Hills Sanitarium. When I was looking things up and thinking about, some of this has come from my own sort of brain, and some of it has come from a little bit of internet research. And I can't believe that one didn't come up. So I think that kind of stuff, it's just always terrifying. Like the idea of the haunted, the haunted hospital, the haunted asylum, Session 9. I don't know if you ever saw that film, but that was some freaky business. I think an underrated horror.
And when you go into a place like that, that's falling apart, so it's crazy.
It's the coldness of like the stone and the tiles and all that kind of stuff. Because of the echoes and the sounds that it creates, that's just going to completely just add to everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so my last one then, because we shared the Stanley Hotel. I'm going to go with the Zvikov Castle in the Czech Republic. According to legend, until 1597, a supernatural being haunted residents of the castle in the ancient tower. It's said that people who sleep in the tower will die within a year. Apparently haunted by spectral dogs and the Zvisovsky, a kind of magical imp. I'm definitely, that there are so many letters there and so many accents that I'm not going to be able to manage that, but it's haunted by a magical imp. And there are frequent reports of cameras breaking, fires extinguishing themselves, and animals behaving strangely. I'm assuming this is something you are aware of as well.
Yes. That one's definitely up there on the list of really creepy places. So, and there's actually, what's really funny is there's in, let's say Eastern Europe, there's a lot of forests that are really haunted and would be kind of cool, I think, to do a tour of those, but some of them are harder to get to, obviously. But in fact, Chernobyl is supposedly very haunted. It's really hard to get into, obviously, because the radiation and all the checkpoints and everything you have to do, but that's up there as well. So yeah, that's really cool. I like that one.
Okay, brilliant. So what is your number five?
Okay, so I wanted to do one that maybe not be on, the radar of your listeners, especially those in that side of the pond, so to speak. So there's a hotel here in Utah. It's called the Bigelow Hotel in Ogden. And I chose that because it is one of the more haunted places that I've ever heard of. And I've actually, been there. And I've also interviewed a lot of people who've had experiences in the Bigelow Hotel. In particular, floor 11 seems to be extremely haunted. A lot go on with kids in the hall that you can't hear. There's a room, a specific room, or several specific rooms that are actually very haunted, but this one in particular really stood out because a local paranormal group went in there to do an EVP session and try and talk to the ghost in there. And they didn't hear it, obviously, when they were recording, but they're asking questions and everything. And the whole time, you can hear somebody drowning in the tub in the recording very clearly. Somebody is crying for help and drowning in the tub while they're doing the recording. Yeah. I mean, it's so clear. And they're like, there was no water on. We were the only ones there. The bathroom was open, obviously, right there. But yeah, you can very clearly hear somebody being drowned in the tub on this. And it, you listen to it and it just, the hairs stand up on the, even me talking about it right now, the hairs stand up on the back of my neck. I interviewed a gentleman that was doing some work on there when they were doing some renovation. And he got in the elevator that, and it was one of those elevators that has mirrors everywhere, kind of mirrored walls at the time. And he got in the elevator and he just got a creepy feeling and was going down and he looked over at his reflection and his reflection kept looking forward. His reflection wouldn't look at him from the mirror, which freaked him out really bad. He kept trying to look at it, you know, turn and look at his reflection in the mirror. His reflection never turned and looked at him, which is the creepiest thing I've ever heard in an elevator for sure. So, but yeah, that one's definitely a haunted place. And
oh, that's horrible. Yeah. Ew.
That's straight out of a horror movie. Somebody looking into a mirror and your reflection not looking back at you, staring straight forward instead of looking at you.
Just another incredible example of why I love doing this show. Oh my word. Isn't that a lot of fun? I mean, if that's, you know, solve for what you would count as fun, but for me, I absolutely love it. I love it so much. Roscoe, one of the internet's two most infamous cats, is currently attacking my microphone stand, my boom arm. So we got some follow up. So this is John Olson. What a fantastic guest. I think it might be universally acceptable fact that people from Utah are nice. So that's lovely. And yeah, what an amazing topic as well. So some real-time follow-up from this episode then. Just in case you are wondering and you haven't done the Googling, EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. So that's when people go in with recording equipment and they listen for sounds that can't be heard with the naked ear, as you might say, and then see what they can pick up. And so often there's some stuff there. And I was right. It was Theseus who battled the Minotaur. I can't remember whether we in the UK say Minotaur or Minotaur. Or if we say either or either or. But there you go. Yes, it was Theseus. I was right. He had a ship named after him and he had some red thread that he used to find his way out of the maze where the Minotaur was in the middle. So there you go. If you would like more of this, and why wouldn't you? I have a quiz that I presented to John. If you would like to hear that quiz, then you can become a member of List Envy Plus. And you can do that at listenvypod.com/plus. And by giving me, I was going to say pledging, but that's not entirely accurate. By you just giving me some money, £2 a month or around that equivalent in dollars, you can support the show. And what that means is that it helps me pay for hosting and that kind of stuff, and maybe occasional improvements to the show. And you know, this is not the kind of thing that is going to get advertising dollars because I'm not a celebrity, and every episode is different. So it does mean that like attracting a listener base to a show like this is actually quite hard because like I said, every episode is different. If I were a celebrity, you would be coming for the me of it all. I hope that if you have come you know, for a particular episode, you've stayed for the me and that you find the experience pleasant. And if you do and you'd like to just say, you know, you appreciate it and help, as we say, keep the lights on, again, like I said last week, I'm going to keep doing this anyway because I love doing it. But your support just means that I am less out of pocket for doing so. So listenvypod.com/plus, a couple bucks, and you will get an a version of this show without this pleading segment. And you will get the quiz with John and with all my other guests since we rebooted the show. So coming up then, we have got next week, we are continuing The Creeps, and we're talking about films that give us the absolute ick, and then things get a little bit more wholesome. We get into talking about Disney's Magic Kingdom. We do some Sonic branding. We talk about endangered or threatened species. We get into inventions inspired by sci-fi. We've got loads more. So if you are not already subscribed and following the show, listenvypod.com is where you can do that. Right, let us get back into it. We've got a job to do. We have got a top five list to build. So I shall now return you to the haunting charms of Mr. John Olsen and our top five list of haunted locations. What a magnificent list here. Okay, we have a difficult job in front of us now in that we've got to combine our lists. I've come up with a draft. Let me know what you think. This is phase one. Feel free to make adjustments. But I'm going from 5 to 1. So I think we have to have a castle in there because, you know, castles be creepy. So I've gone for Zwickau Castle for number 5. Number 4, Waverley Hill Sanitarium, because obviously. Number 3, the Queen Mary. Number 2, the Catacombs of Paris. And then number 1, obviously, the Stanley Hotel, seeing as we both chose it. Any thoughts on that provisional top 5?
No, I like it. I definitely like it. And that would be a bucket list for me of making sure that I visit all of those places. So
you're giving me ideas as well. I might make some travel arrangements. Fantastic. Well, I will ask you the formal question then. John Olsen, do you consent to this list?
Yes, I do. I like the list. I think it's great.
Fantastic. Well, are there any that you wanted to talk about that didn't make your personal top 5?
Oh, I have so many that, like I said, that are on my bucket list. It's famous, but I love the Tower of London. That's got to be one of the best, more famous haunted places, especially since it's got famous ghosts as well. So that one's definitely there. I honestly could spend hours and hours listing off all of my favorite ones. And a lot of them, like you say, are castles, because you got to have castles in there. So for sure.
So then, John, please tell us what you are up to, where we can find your books, where we can find you, follow you, and keep, discover new terrifying places that, 50% of the country, well, maybe 70% of the country wants to steer clear of and the other ones really want to go.
Yeah, so you can find me. I have a website. It's just strangerbridgerland.com, and I'm sure we'll have that in the notes because not a lot of people know how to spell Bridgerland. You can find a lot out on there about me where, I do some speaking, I do, some tours and stuff like that, and it's all on there. Then my books can be found on Amazon. Just look up the Stranger Bridgerland book series. I am also, if any of your listeners are interested in signed copies of my books, I have a little TikTok that I do, fun little things, and then do some signed book sales on there. And that's just at OlsenJ243 on TikTok. And you can also get on there and say, hey, this is weird or whatever when we do little videos. But and then, like I said, on my website, strangerbridgerland.com, you can find all the information about, what's going on. And I like to do some articles and stuff on there as well. So
fantastic. Where does the name come from?
So my first book was called Stranger Bridgerland because originally I'm from northern Utah, and the area of northern Utah, southern Idaho, and just part of Wyoming is called unofficially Bridgerland because it was trapped by a mountain man named Jim Bridger. It's kind of famous. He was in that. They talked about him in that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio when he was a trapper. Anyway, he was famous for, you know, drawing maps and helping people to settle this area, Jim Bridger. So they kind of called it Bridgerland. So, and I thought it was kind of cool that it held all of the area of my first book. And so, and then I just kept that name throughout, with all my books being part of the Stranger Bridgerland book series, even though they go all over the world now. So
obviously you've got a growing bucket list of places. Have you got any upcoming concrete travel plans?
No, not any concrete ones yet. Here in a little while, my wife and I will sit down and say, hey, where do we want to go on vacation? And so I'll make it seem romantic. And then underneath there is a haunted place that she doesn't know. And she gets mad at me when she finds out.
I love this idea that you're like stealth.
Because one day I'll be like, oh, we're going to go to Paris and we're going to go visit this lovely island out here. And then she'll be like, where are we going? What's haunted there?
Just stealth terrorizing your wife.
Yeah.
In the name of romance. It's amazing. Because, yeah, like some of these places are quite beautiful and romantic. Yeah, Venice. Yeah, we'll go to Venice. Yeah, Paris, lovely.
Yeah.
Underneath it, though.
That's funny.
I love it. Oh, well, John, this has been an absolute pleasure. I've loved digging into this, and I've got lots more sort of reading and watching, I think, that I want to do, because I find this stuff fascinating. And I'm looking forward to digging into your books as well. So thank you so much for joining me on List Envy.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.